Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I extend a welcome to each one and say amen. May grace and peace be multiplied to all of us today. Before we pray, I'd like to read something Taisha was communicating to Sarah. And then we had asked the church that we would all pray together. She took a big step of faith last Sunday here. And as we realized that, that doesn't mean the battle is over. Sister Sarah is saying that she was over with Taisha last evening. She had a very rough week. She feels pretty low right now and struggling with anger and frustration with her living situation. She has felt like the enemy is not happy with her and thus making it rough. Let's all pause and let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. You're almighty. You're bigger than all of our problems. Bigger than anything. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would reach down that home up in Reading. You would grant Taisha courage. You would somehow minister to her a little bit of faith that she has and feed that. Send more laborers in her path, Lord. Pray that you would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort her, to guide her, and to lead her. Father, we pray that you would be with us today, would help us to consider why we are here, would teach us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Father, we recognize that we are all on a journey. Do speak to us. Pray, Father, that you would give utterance according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Simeon, for that devotional. And in many ways, my subject this morning feels a little bit out of place for what we're endeavoring to do this evening, but maybe not altogether. I appreciated Timothy's children's lesson, especially the part about the bird. And I'd just like to share with you, see if I can do a reality check. Sometimes I don't know if I'm going psychotic, if something's starting to be wrong with me or what. But things like that, like the bird, affect me in a different way today. And I hope it's not altogether bad. And I grew up, as you know, on a farm, and animals were very much a part of my life, and I remember going with my dad hunting rabbits out in the cornfields. And then when I was old enough to have a rifle, my dad bought me a rifle, and I went hunting for those four-legged animals. And recently, I was mowing on the job site, and it was tall grass. It was probably 3 foot tall, and I have a little robotic mower that I walk alongside, and it goes out around the pond banks. And I was walking beside the mower, and all of a sudden something went, ah! And I jumped, and I was like, what was that? And I looked, and right behind the mower was probably like a 3 or 4 day old fawn, the cutest little fawn you could imagine. And it was twisting its head this way and that way and carrying on. I was like, oh, I got sick. I was like, oh, what should I do? And I was so repulsed that I just quickly went on mowing. Next time around, thankful it was dead. And I wondered, I said, why did that make me so sick in my stomach? Because am I actually going kooky in here, or what's going on? I don't think so. I think we can actually start to recognize that Everything God created is beautiful. And we should not, if we love to kill animals for the pleasure of killing animals, we should do a reality check. But you can come talk to me if you think I'm going crazy afterward. All right, this morning I'd like to talk about wisdom versus foolishness. Wisdom versus foolishness. And I'd like to see a raise of hands. How many of you here this morning are foolish? Raise your hand. How many of you are foolish? Some went up and quick went down. Okay. How many are wise? None of the ladies are wise. We have a handful of men. Okay. I don't know who will put your hand up for foolish, but I'm a little surprised you put your hand up. Because I hope to, after we're done here, that you will repent if you are indeed foolish. Most of the situations that we face in life are natural situations, right? Most of the situations that we face are not supernatural events. They're just natural. What time do I set my alarm for the morning? How many hours should I work in a day? What kind of vehicle should I buy? What kind of clothes should we wear? On and on. They're just natural circumstances or natural events. And I believe that wisdom is key if we want to live a life that in the end we can look back on and say, yes, that I am glad that I applied my heart to wisdom. We're living in an age or in a time when being smart is held up. If you have letters behind your name, if you have, you know, certain degrees and on, it's kind of nice. You know, my name is, and I'm a PhD in this, or I have a bachelor's degree here. But the Bible is not talking about that when it talks about wisdom. Let's consider what the Bible has to say about wisdom. Jesus, I pondered this. Jesus said that we should not call people a fool or an empty head. But did you know that Jesus also called people foolish? One example was the man whose barns were full, and he said, I'm going to break them down, I'm going to build bigger, and I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry. And Jesus said, well, that was a very foolish thing of you. That was very foolish. Tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. As a disclaimer, we have talked in our house recently, and I don't think I have been doing this, but in case I have, I want to change. And that's when the preacher gets up and says, and I'm not talking to anyone here this morning. I am talking to someone here this morning. A crowd this size, you know, there may be some among us who need to repent of foolishness. Number one, I'm talking to myself, and hopefully to all of you. So the wise versus the foolish. The Bible makes much of this. We read a lot about it in Proverbs, and there's 60 other passages in Scripture talking about the wise versus the foolish. Being a fool probably has less to do with our intellectual and our learning, what we all know, and more to do with our attitude, our character, and our heart. More to do with our attitudes, our character, and our heart. If you look up the word in the dictionary, as a noun, it says a person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person, lack of good sense or judgment, stupidity. A person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person, lack of good sense or judgment, and stupidity. Stupidity, if you look the word stupidity up, it says lack of intelligence. Wisdom, as a noun, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Does that sound something that you would want behind your name? The quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And we can understand why God would want us to be wise. We can make good judgments. We can have knowledge. We can look at a situation and we can say, well, the wise thing to do would be this. I read an article I'd like to share with you on wisdom and foolishness. It really blessed me. Wisdom is when we see truth and adjust our lives accordingly. Foolishness, on the other hand, is when we demand the truth adjusts to our reality. To put it another way, wise people will meet the demands of life. Foolish people will demand that life meets their needs or their demands. Wise people receive feedback when it is given, own their mistakes and issues, and take responsibility without blaming others or making excuses. Foolish people become defensive very quickly when confronted, shy away from owning their shortcomings, and often blame those around them. Wise people listen, fools ignore or dismiss. It hits pretty close home, doesn't it? We're not born as a very wise person. We all start from down on the ground. I want to say, when I look over my life, I can look back without a lot of regret. Now, I have made foolish decisions. I want to be clear. I have not done everything right. But as I was reading Proverbs and considering the promises attached to that and what that looks like, I remembered of even when I was as young as 18, Proverbs says that a wise son maketh a glad father. And I remember my dad being so, may I use the word proud in its right form, proud of me. And I remember even the ministry. I remember the deacon. One time in a youth gathering, he came up to me and he said, "Amos, good job." And I think he was commending me for the choice that I had made in a life partner. And probably because he was our deacon, he lived in the neighborhood, he knew me well. And I'm just sharing that to encourage you, if you're young here today, you can make choices. It is possible for you to be wise so that you can look back at those years and say, ah, no regrets. All right, I have a lot of scripture to share, but before I do that, I'd just like to put 4 points on the board. Number one is a wise person applies God's word. And that is Jesus' own words. He said there in Matthew that those who hear and do, it's those who hear and do God's will that are standing on that strong, unshakable foundation. A wise person reads the Bible and does what it says. It's quite simple, isn't it? No haggling with the word, no trying to make excuses. A wise person applies God's word to their life, both hearing and then putting it to practice. Number two, this Brother Wayne Keeney, are you here this morning? This was a children's lesson I remembered, probably half a dozen years ago, that Brother Wayne Keeney taught the children. A wise person walks with the wise. Let's don't underestimate that one. A wise person walks with the wise and becomes wiser. When you surround yourself with wise friends, you will become wiser. 1 + 1 = 2. Why? Because they genuinely care about you. I believe a wise friend is willing to speak into our life. Even, get this, even if it makes our relationship a little bit uncomfortable. Yesterday we were at an event. It was probably 6,000 strong people there. It was a lot of people. And I was at a booth. I was talking to the people who owned the booth. And when I was done, I noticed a former neighbor of mine standing there, and I completely avoided him. I don't think he saw me, but he was there, and immediately my mind was, don't want to talk to him. Not because I have anything against him, but because he is very, very foolish. And I was just not in the mood to have some smart quips or have my mind going around some foolish thoughts of his. And so I didn't go out of my way to go up to him. A wise person walks with the wise. Brother Isaac had a children's lesson last week to your children. Do you remember how he encouraged you children to have good friends? When you have good friends, it actually makes a difference. And to have good friends, you also need to be a good friend. A wise person walks with the wise. Number three. A wise person, asks advice. A wise person asks advice. So why would a wise person ask advice if he's wise? Right? It can seem a little bit like contradictory. Why would a wise person ask advice? He's already wise, right? A wise person listens to advice. Proverbs says the fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man listens to counsel. Fools ignore advice. They are convinced they know what is right, and they do not readily receive input. Fools ignore advice. It's pretty serious. If somebody comes to me or somebody comes to you with some advice and you're going to ignore it, you're basically telling everyone around you, I have the earmarks of a fool. They do not readily receive input. The wise listen to advice, they desire input. They are humble enough to admit when they are wrong, and they are courageous enough to ask for advice. Get this, young people. I beg of you this morning that you would consider this. You do not have it all together. Your hormones are at peak. Your ideals are equal there at peak, but you do not have it all together. Learn to ask advice and learn to listen to advice. And last one is number 4. A wise person, maybe this one should be first. A wise person when you're nervous, your spelling is affected. A wise person, what do you think is this? Last one. Any ideas? What should we do a lot of? Listen? Yeah, that could be in this one or this one. Praise for wisdom. Praise for wisdom. A wise person prays for wisdom. I tell my children more than one time, pray for wisdom. And this is a big thing. James 1, chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. And how many times do we lack wisdom? How many times should we pray for wisdom? And the ESV says, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And yes, in the KJV, it says, upbraid us not. God gives generously without finding fault. Pray for wisdom. Of all things that we pray for, let's pray for wisdom. Wouldn't it be, there are a few things I think that would help us to be a light to the world and a church that is wise. A group of believers that gathers together makes wise choices on an everyday practical level. Brother Simon preached about rudeness and how the world is increasingly becoming rude. And it's foolish. But it's reality. So God is eager to grant us wisdom generously. Why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't God give us wisdom? He knows that the wiser we become, the better decisions that we are going to make. The better our families will function. The better our neighbors will appreciate us and wonder who we are. The more pitfalls we will avoid, which allows us to be more productive and a brighter light to the world around us. All right, now for the scripture, I'm going to have an object lesson. Brother Duff, are you ready? Maybe we'll just do that now, and then I'll conclude with reading the scripture, and I have a small conclusion, and then I will take my seat. Do we have folding chairs? Let's just sit on the steps.
Some coffee will come. nice to be able to just sit down and talk a while. Tell me, how was your week?
Dude, it was awesome.
So what was so awesome?
Everyone was so nice to me this week. My co-workers and everything. It was just a good week.
Was there anyone that wasn't so nice to you?
Dude, it was an awesome week. I mean, my dad was a little bit hurt one day of the week, and mom was like, "What are you doing for lunch?" The other day, but it was an awesome week. Dude, I'm telling you, this last week was very exceptional. I didn't skip a Chicago meeting. I had a good week.
Can I share something with you? Just this morning, I was reading this passage. Think about it. This is from Titus. "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Does that bring anything to mind? No, but it's just the way that you're talking to me. I'm your brother. And you're sounding to me like some Southern California hippie. It's a pretty slangy term. My name starts with D. You could call me Duff. You could say your brother. It sounds kind of corny. But some of the language that you have, I wonder, is it really sound speech?
Doesn't everybody say it to you?
No. Do you hear our elders addressing each other as dude, or do you hear it anywhere else? Where do you hear it? Are you keeping good company?
Do you don't think Jesus would say to you?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
I love you, and I want you to live a good life. I want you to do wise things.
I appreciate you taking time with me. Thank you for the coffee.
Sure, anytime.
Mr. Duff.
All right, Mr. Rickens.
Now that may have sound comic, but my point is this. What is your response if someone comes to you? We aren't always all wise. We don't always have things together. It may be in our speech. It may be in our character. My question to you this morning is, are you wise? The Bible says, if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. If you rebuke a fool, he will hate you more. Just listen to Proverbs. I was going to read Proverbs chapter 9, and I forgot it. I'm sorry. So we'll just skip that for this morning. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Some of these we read already. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 17. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Proverbs 28. Whoever trusts his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Proverbs chapter 12. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. I'd just like to wash you this morning in Proverbs, and there's a few other scriptures, and ask you to consider, are you a wise person or are you a foolish person? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. You know that parable he gave there in Matthew 7. Proverbs 29, a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. A fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs 29, verse 9, a wise man has an argument with a fool. The fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. I was at New Holland Fair when I was a young man, and there was a few brothers there from charity, and they were witnessing, and I walked upon the scene, and there was a whole group of young boys, and this brother was trying to tell them how it is, and he just went on and on until the crowd was, they were just laughing and mocking. And he tried hard. He said, so tell me what happens when you die. And they said, well, I go 6 foot under. And laughed. And he just could not. Proverbs says that a wise man has an argument with a fool. The fool only rages and laughs. We don't get anywhere. Proverbs 17. The discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Proverbs 14. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 14, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. One specifically to you women, KJV says, a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down with her own hands. And it's not talking about the shell that you live in. Proverbs 10. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Proverbs 19. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Colossians 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Proverbs 20. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife. Proverbs 15, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. 1 Peter 5, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We had in our cell group, the last time we were together, a discussion on how to... It just fled. Anyway, what I'm after is this verse here. And this makes you hate the devil even more. Is he's prowling around like a lion, looking for weak sheep to devour them. The devil and his demons are out to destroy the weak ones. And we should be sober-minded, we should be watchful because of that. James chapter 3, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus saying, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Proverbs chapter 29. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I told you earlier, I'm preaching to myself. If I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. And this one here is one that I need help with. I'm, in some ways, I can be like Peter. I can speak quick, and I'd like to learn. I'd like to overcome that. Proverbs 19, desire without knowledge is not good. Whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Proverbs 15, verse 24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. Proverbs 15, 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 15, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fools pours out folly. If you're 15 years old and you're here today, memorize Proverbs chapter 15. It is filled with wisdom, and specifically, that is very pertinent to a young man. The wisdom of prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. And the last one, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. I'd like to conclude by asking a few questions. Do you want to inherit honor? Do you want to inherit honor? If you do, then start by being wise. The wise man will inherit honor. We can get to the end of our life, so we can look back, and it's an honor. And I'm sure you've met those people. Old, white-haired people. You love to be around them. When they speak, they have sound judgment. We don't have them here. 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds. Maybe soon we'll have some 70-year-olds. But it starts now. Young people, it starts when you're young. We can't wait until we have white hair and say, you know what, I want to be a wise person. It starts today. It starts right now. What is your response? This question here, I want each of you to ask yourself, what is your response when you are approached by someone about something in your life, about something in your language, about something in your conduct, or your attitude, or your dress? What is your response? Are you wise or are you foolish? Do you love the person who comes to you and says, I have a concern about this? Or do you go over here to your friend and say, oh, such and such a brother, you know, he said that. One is wise and one is foolish. And I'm pleading with you this morning. Consider that. When you are rebuked, can you love and appreciate their efforts? If you do, you will be even wiser. All right, I'd like to, if we could, all kneel in prayer. Father in heaven, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't read much about his childhood, but that he grew in stature and in wisdom and found favor in both with God and with man. And we pray this morning, Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. Help us in our generation to be wise and to be courteous. Help us, Lord, to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron here in this fellowship, young person to young person, and adults to adults, Lord. We pray, O God, you would help us to raise the bar among us so Christ could be exalted, so we would be able to look back and say, we are building on the solid rock, the foundation that does not move, the foundation that is never shaken. Lord Jesus, would you help us? Forgive us, Father, for the areas where we fail. We confess to you that we need you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.